Good morning. It's a blessing to see you all, a blessing to see visitors here. Seems like when we have a few families that are gone, a few families show up, and so that's always encouraging, a blessing. Thank you, brothers, for sharing. The kingdom of God has so many things to be zealous for and excited for. Appreciate that encouragement. Yet I wonder if there are some here that are, like Brother Ivan shared, that are maybe just feeling like there's some emptiness. And we want to try to encourage you today. The Lord Jesus doesn't like discouragement, likes people that are encouraged and strengthened. That's what the Word of God is. Appreciated the reminder there also about a clean heart and some of the recommendations there, prayer and saying you're sorry. All these things are tremendous. And so we're not left without answers. We're not left to be discouraged, not left to be empty. But the Bible does talk about hands that hang down, doesn't it? It talks about knees that are weak. And it gives the picture of people that are tired. The Bible also calls us as Christians to strive. Paul says to strive for the masteries. Now, the kingdom of God takes effort. It does. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes sacrifices. There is another gospel out there that would not teach that. There is another gospel out there that is without a cross, without sacrifices, without discipline, without efforts. But we know here this morning that we are not interested in that gospel. Or desiring that gospel. That is a selfish motive, making life as easy as possible. It leads to an empty, discouraging life. But when you live your life for others, when you live your life for others, it brings joy and peace and leaves you encouraged. It's just a reality. And so take that with you. That if you want to be encouraged, try serving, try blessing. However, we also know that life gets busy in raising children and church functions and occupation and kingdom work, all of these things. It can get overwhelming, and we can start to let things slip, can't we? It's kind of easy to start letting things slip. We probably all in here know what it's like. In Galatians, Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And when we get overwhelmed, it's when usually things start to slip. And the subject this morning, the title of the message is, Given to Hospitality. And I believe that if we get overwhelmed and we start letting things slip, that may be the first. Hospitality. I know it from experience. But the definition of hospitality is a friendly, hospitality is the friendly and generous reception of guests, visitors, or strangers. And it also refers to the business of providing services like accommodation, food, and drink to these guests. At its core, it's about making people feel welcome and comfortable. It is the act of being friendly, warm, and generous toward guests or visitors. This can be a personal quality or a way of interacting that makes others feel valued and welcome. There is your description, definition of hospitality. We know that hospitality is written in the Word. This is definitely under the subject heading of Christian living, this message this morning. But I want to inspire and encourage each one of us here in this effort of hospitality, to be given to it. And we can turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy, and we'll read through a few of these verses that speak about hospitality to open up, and we'll try to preach out of these verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the first two verses. And I will admit already that there is two bunny trails that I'm going to go on this morning. I was just thinking as I sit there, if I admit that, is it still a bunny trail or not? I'm not sure. But that's what I call it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. There's the title. Apt to teach. And what this verse here is implying, that if a man is going to be a leader, he must know how to be hospitable. That's going to be just part of the role of being a minister in the kingdom of God, is being hospitable. And so my first bunny trail is on this very subject. When it comes to qualifications of a bishop, I believe that it is qualifications that each brother here should be meeting. I believe it's a standard that should be desired by all in the brotherhood. It is not, so if we were to have an ordination and somebody were to here teach on the qualifications of a bishop, would we want there just to be one or two that would be able to be ordained? Is that the desire? Or would we want all the brethren to be able to qualify? Now, we know that there's different levels of gifts in the scriptures. We know that there's different levels. There's different levels that even God would give. But when it comes to 1 Timothy and also Titus and different places in the scripture that talk about qualifications, I believe what it's saying is that the people, the brothers in the church, if they are going to be leaders in the church, they have to at least have this standard. And this standard goes across the whole brotherhood. But we wouldn't want to be ordaining someone that isn't meeting this standard that is for all the brothers. And there is a book out there that is titled The Measure of a Man. Has anybody heard of that or read that book, The Measure of a Man? The author would be Gene Getz. I don't get into the theological background of these authors, and maybe I should, especially if I'm going to announce it here. But in this book, what this author has done, and I really appreciate the book, but what the author has done is he's taken every qualification that's in Timothy and Titus, and he's put a chapter in the book about that. And it's nothing about ordination. It's nothing about bishops. It's simply the measure of a man. And what I would suggest, obviously we know that given to hospitality is in there, but what I would suggest is that we would all, as brothers in the church, and even as young men in the church, that we would have a desire to be that. And I would just like to go through very quickly here these 20 chapters. And I would also suggest that you would get or borrow the book instead of trying to write all these down. But these are out of the scriptures. One is overall spiritual maturity, a well-rounded. Two is above reproach. He's of good report, a good reputation. Three, the husband of one wife, morally pure. Four, temperate. He is balanced in words and actions. Five, prudent. There's not going to be one of you here that hears one of these that says, it's just not me. I hope that. That's just not me. And what this will do is it'll leave you without any exemptions on hospitality as well. Six, respectable. He's a good role model. Seven, hospitable. He is unselfish and generous. Eight, able to teach. He communicates sensitively in a non-threatening and non-defensive manner. And brothers, we need to be teachers. We have children around us. We have people next door to us. We need to be teachers. Not addicted to wine. He is not addicted to substances. 10, not self-willed. He is not self-centered and controlling. 11, not quick-tempered. He is void of anger that becomes sinful. Not pugnacious. He is not abusive. 13, gentle. He is sensitive, loving, and kind. 14, peaceable. He is not argumentative and non-divisive. 5, free from the love of money, non-materialistic. 16, manages his own household well. He's a good husband and father. And we hear these things and our hearts should just be open. And Lord, do a bigger work in my life in these. I want to be all of these. 17, loving what is good. He pursues godly activities. He's zealous for the things of God, you could say. 18, just. He is wise, discerning, and fair. 19, devout. He is holy and devoted to God. And 20, self-controlled. He is disciplined. And so, obviously, in this morning session here, we're just going to be talking about one of these given to hospitality. But I just want to encourage all of us to be given to being a godly man, a godly father. And later, a little later on, this message is definitely to the sisters as well, but we'll speak about some of those things in a minute here. Titus chapter 1, similar verses, verse 7 and 8, it says, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate." That is beautiful. That should get a yearning in our heart to be those things. And one of those is a lover of hospitality. And so if we think about the words given to hospitality and a lover of hospitality, I feel like this morning I can just go all out. I can just preach with all that I have about hospitality and not be overbalanced. You know, I have that struggle sometimes when I'm preaching. I tend to be overbalanced because the subject I'm studying and I'm zealous about, I'm preaching about it, and I'm not trying to qualify it with all these other things. I'm focused on this subject, and sometimes I get myself in trouble. But this one, I feel like there's liberty in the scriptures to just be given to it. And there's a chance, too, that it could be, for some, it could be a challenge. But I just pray that you would bear with me on it. 1 Peter, in chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." 9, verse 9, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Romans 12, "Distributing to the necessity of saints," given again to hospitality. We would probably all admit that in America, here in the West, we have really neglected this amazing opportunity. We have neglected in the West this whole idea of hospitality. And people that have traveled to other countries, we heard from Brother Vinny last night, they grew up in Brazil. It's just far different there. To have people over, to be able to go into people's homes, to be able to share life together is a very common thing in a lot of other countries. But we all know that here in the West, we're more of an individualistic society. We have created more of a mantra that we can do it on our own, we can do it by ourselves. And the largest we would get is our own family. We might include our own family, our own children. As our family grows, we kind of develop a little bubble around our family. And that's very common in America. But it's not the heart that we're hearing about here, about giving to hospitality. And if you spend time on college campuses, if you spend time in the city or anywhere talking to foreigners that are coming here, we live in this melting pot of America, people that are coming for education usually. And they come here for 4 to 6 to 8 years, and they are shocked by the hospitality that is not shown here in America. They are surprised, they are shocked that nobody invites them over for a meal. And if you think about your own experience and your own history, your own life experience, it would be just as shocking, probably for you, to just ask a stranger downtown Dayton to come over for a meal. And so you see how we have both perspectives here, and both sides are actually so far removed from what is actually happening or the reality of it that we have to be open to some teaching on it, I believe. There is a church plant there at State College. Maybe some of you have heard or some of you know about it. And their goal, their mission is to reach the people at Penn State University. I think it's the third largest university in the country. And there is obviously these universities like Ohio State and Penn State and some of these big universities, they have these huge programs that draw people from all over the world. And so you have people that get on an airplane and leave their country and land in America, and they don't know anybody. They don't know where they're hardly even at. And they're in a major culture shock, just the food and all of that. And then there's nobody to walk them through and walk them along and try to show them. So this morning, this is going to be a very practical message on hospitality, if that is okay. We would probably all in here know what it is like to be shown hospitality. We've had it happen at one point or another. And unfortunately, we also here all know what it is like when that is neglected. And we are somewhere and we are not shown hospitality. But if you were to think of people in other countries, if you were to think of how it maybe used to be 100 or 200 years ago in America, you would have a better understanding of hospitality. But what we're talking about here is possibly something far different, and it's because we're talking about the saints. We're talking about the children of God. We're talking about making an impact. We're talking about blessing others. This isn't just trying to be neighborly like maybe it used to be, but shouldn't people be able to find hospitality among the children of God? But when someone invites you into their home and they make a very special attempt to give you an amazingly refreshing experience, we don't soon forget it. And I want to focus on that word a little bit. It was already used this morning. But on the word refreshing, is there something fresh about that word? Is there something exciting about the word refreshing? When you think of the word refreshing, does anything negative come to your mind? I mean, refreshing is one of those words that should excite us. It should get us zealous. 1 Corinthians, let's turn here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to read a few verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 15. The Apostle Paul here. I beseech you, brethren, ye know that the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Pretty strong language there. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunas and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. And so here we have the Apostle Paul talking about a group of people here that have actually, they're addicted. I mean, these are some strong words given to a lover of, and these people are addicted to the ministry of the saints, to the ministry of the brethren. And he's saying that we should submit ourselves to that. And then he's talking about the few things that they lacked, no worry there, because these other brothers, what you lacked, they took over. And they supplied it. And they have refreshed the Apostle Paul's spirits and also their own spirits. And in 2 Timothy, I'll read a few verses here in chapter 1. It says here in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And so you have a beautiful example here of people that are diligently trying to refresh the people of God. Now, we know that hospitality is not just for the people of God, but it does speak highly of it here in the Scriptures, and I want to spend some time on that. But the point of Onesiphorus was to find Paul and to refresh him. That was his objective. That was his point, and it's an amazing thing. When Titus then came to Corinth, so these people that are traveling, they're traveling a long ways, but it says in 2 Corinthians, when Titus came to Corinth, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. And so you hear, Paul hears this from afar, that this Titus had done some traveling, and Paul loved Titus. He was a minister of the gospel. They had a brotherly love. They had a relationship that was probably hard to find, that I believe we all should have here in this room today. But he could have been possibly concerned a bit that Titus is traveling to Corinth. Corinth was a city full of a lot of different ideas and thoughts, a port city, and the church had some struggles. But when he found out that Titus was full of joy, Because his spirit had been refreshed by the brethren there, that excited the Apostle Paul. And I believe the Bible is telling everyone in this room that we should be given to this kind of service. Our home should be a place that offers refreshment. This should excite us. There is a chance that you would get the feeling of, we cannot measure up to this. We don't have the ability. We don't have the gifting. We don't have the money. We don't have the place, whatever it is. And I would just say it this way, that if your heart is bent toward hospitality, that will do. That will do enough. If your heart is given to it and you live in an apartment complex in downtown Dayton, you will be fine if your heart is given to it. And if you own a private retreat on the banks of the Great Miami River and there's 1,200 acres of rolling hills and woods and trails and your heart is not in it, you will not refresh anybody with what you have. And so I want to make that point clear, although some of these points do involve things and money. But remember that our heart is to be given to it. Our heart is desiring to refresh. And if you just ponder and consider, you don't know what everybody else is going through, do you? You don't know what everybody else is going through, even in your own brotherhood here. Now, we obviously encourage that we would know as much as we can, that we would have relationships that are close enough that we would know what each other is going through, but we don't always know. And we don't know what every day holds, what people are going through. And we have an opportunity, each one of us, to be a blessing to people that are passing through our way. Whether brethren, whether saints, whether somebody from the outside, whether a neighbor, whether friends. But I would hope that we can get excited about being a breath of fresh air to other people. And trust me, I understand how it is to feel weary. I understand that. And I also understand how our wives feel overwhelmed. I understand that. And I can appreciate us husbands that do not want to stress out our wives. I can appreciate that love toward them and that kindness. But I will just warn that that thought process there will lead to a major decline in hospitality. A major decline. And just like these here brethren, it says here that they were also refreshed. And so when we start to get overwhelmed and stressed out, and we start to pull in and conserve, what I would believe is that you are missing out on the blessing that you need to be refreshed yourself. And it eventually just dries up. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having," and I'll just break in here, this is talking about widows, how we should take care of widows, and if you're talking of somebody as widow that is younger, that the church doesn't need to take care of that younger widow, especially if that widow has family and has the ability to marry again, if that would be God's will. But here's what it's saying here about a widow that is under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. This is the women here. If she hath brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And I just get a picture of this woman here, this virtuous woman. And basically it's saying that these are the things that our women should be doing. This is what a woman should be doing. But this woman here is wanting to be a blessing. This mother, this sister, is wanting to be a blessing. She's wanting to give herself out to others in lodging strangers. Yes, bringing up children, in washing the saints' feet. She's relieving the afflicted. She's following every good work. And I don't picture a woman here that is extremely overwhelmed and discouraged. I don't picture that. I picture a woman that is being fed by the blessing others, by serving others, by taking care of others. That is a nature of a woman. It is. And we understand that when the nest starts getting full, the quiver starts getting full, and there's a lot going on. But I would just suggest, and I'll bring this to my own home first, that if our homes are at a place of peace and order, that a mother isn't going to be frazzled. A mother isn't going to have her hair sticking in every direction and not even want people to come into her home. But let us endeavor to make our homes an environment where a mother is much at peace with serving and blessing and loving. And when you say, and I'll be honest, I do this all the time, and it's probably neglect on my part, but oh, I forgot, there's some people coming this weekend, or there's a family coming tonight, and yes, they have 6 children. And my wife has kind of gotten used to that, but I believe that it can be where her response is okay, it's taken back a little bit, but yet I'm thankful. And if there is times where there's a little hesitancy there, or, but this, did you remember this, did you forget this, by the end of the weekend or end of the evening, everybody's refreshed, everybody's excited, everybody's encouraged, and we're thankful that we did it. We're thankful that we stretched ourselves a little bit to be a blessing to people that are traveling through. But if we have the mindset that making people comfortable, making people refreshed, making people be filled with joy, and if we're lovers of that, it's going to bring tremendous joy to your life. To love, to serve, and bless others. It's going to be a refreshing time and season. I believe that there are two things, and I was thinking about this the other day. There's way more than two things. But there's two things that came to mind that you can just go all out in, and it's the fruits of the Spirit and hospitality. In the fruits of the Spirit, it says that there is no law. There is nothing against it. There isn't something like gravity pulling it down. And a brother once shared that it's like a Boeing 747 just streamlining through the air. Just with everything it has, it's defying all gravity. There is no law against it. It's just soaring along. And I want to give us that picture about hospitality. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'll just read verse 5, one verse here. It says in 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." I like this verse because of the clothed with humility. And I have a note in my Bible that says the white apron. I'm not sure where I got it, but I heard it from somebody and obviously wrote it down in my Bible. But clothed with humility is what we're going to need to be a servant. It's what we're going to need in this gift of hospitality. But I want to introduce my second bunny trail if I'm allowed. It says also here, submit yourselves unto the elder. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I wonder at times, well, I don't wonder it. There's probably nobody in this room that would not agree that that is another thing in the West that we've slipped on. Giving respect to older people, that is one of the major shocks of people that come to our country, that there is no respect for older people. There's no respect given for experience. And the Bible calls it the hoary head. In fact, I think I wrote a few verses down here. Yes, in Leviticus 19:32, you don't have to turn there, but it actually says here, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord." And I want to stick this into this message for a few reasons. One is, just picture that. An older man walks into your midst, and you're all sitting visiting. Maybe you're in your living room visiting. An older man walks into your midst, and right away, it's not because of Leviticus, the passage there. Right away in your heart, you want to stand up, and you want to offer him your seat. There's respect showing. This man has been through a lot more than you have. This man has had a lot more experiences. This man has an ability to teach you a lot of things. But it seems like, I'm not sure where to put it all because it's been lost in our culture. And so therefore, some of you younger people probably haven't experienced it much. And myself included, probably haven't experienced it much. And I want to learn more about it. I want to be able to, I do believe that I have a desire. I have a strong desire to be taught by older men. I really do. And here's the problem that I've gotten into. I believe that older men have no interest in teaching the younger because they don't expect the younger to want to listen. They've lost hope in it. And the younger is continually trying to prove to the older that their way is better, that we're missing it. And so they're wanting to teach the older. They have the newest, the best, they're the smartest, they're the fastest, they're the quickest, and they feel sorry for this old man. And I believe that is a tragedy in the church. It's a tragedy in community, obviously. In the world, it's a tragedy, but in the church, these things ought to be. And I know in our circles, we don't have a lot of it. We don't have a lot of older men. But I think we need to try to cultivate a culture that we honor older people, that we respect older people. And I believe it ties right into this subject of hospitality. Because if we're clothed with humility, like it says there in 1 Peter, if we have honor in our hearts, we want to honor people, we want to bless people, what happens is we automatically take the lowest road. We take the lowest position. We take the position of a servant. We take the position that we're here to bless. Now, when you have people over in your home, sometimes it can feel like an opportunity to teach them. It can feel like an opportunity to let them know a few things. And I know there's probably some room for that. You know, we have people come into our home and we need to minister to them. Each one of you, I encourage that. But let's remember that if we're not first being hospitable, if we're not first blessing them, if we're not first serving them, it's going to be a lot harder for them to hear. But I would just plead for us all here, to just consider that honor. And I've been trying to practice here lately, out in the world, just really showing a lot of honor to older people. I've been trying to just really make an effort to it. And I believe it surprises people. And I try to make sure I wait. If I have to wait a minute to open a door, I'll do it. If I see an older person, just yesterday I see an older person, I just walked up and tried to talk with them and showed some interest in them and asked them some questions. And right away it got extremely interesting. It was a blessing. I was so encouraged by it. And you think about somebody, this person was in their 90s, all they went through and all we could learn from that. And boy, if I could just grab one of those people and take them home for a week and just garner all the things they've learned. That's the posture of heart that we need. And I believe in order for us to be given to hospitality, we need to have that heart when it comes to all people, respecting all people, respecting people's experiences, respecting where people have come from, respecting their perception or their perspectives, and knowing that they have a view of this as well. But sometimes you can just ask yourself the question, do you feel like you know more than the older brethren? And sometimes that question can be revealing in our hearts. But I believe if we're clothed with humility, if we're at the bottom with a white apron on, we have an opportunity to be such a blessing, to impact so many people. I want to talk about two things now, very practically, when it comes to hospitality. And this is where I have an opportunity to err a bit. But I'm not going to yield to that just because of the given. and a lover of it. And so I would just ask that you would bear with me. The first would be, and I also open myself up, that if you think I'm too much over on this, that I could use some correcting. I am open for that. But let's be addicted to ministering. The first is food. When you think of hospitality, does anybody think of food? When you think of people coming into your home, now when we're warm and friendly at Menards or the bank, that's one thing. But we're talking about hospitality in our home, bringing people into our home. I do feel a little bit bad for Brother Enos because he's having people for lunch this afternoon, and I'm lifting the standard up. And I'm just thankful that it's you and not me. No, but we'll have much mercy there. And you are hospitable, so I'm not worried. But food. First off, I am not here to promote a lavishing lifestyle. I am not here to promote that at all. However, I do believe that we are called to go a bit above normal for the sake of hospitality. Remember, we're wanting to be a blessing, and we know how it is when you show up to somebody's house and we can see that they have made a special effort to be a blessing to us. That in itself is worth it. It is worth it to refresh people, to bless people. And you know how it is. We all have different ideas of this. We have different tastes. But when you go to somebody's house and you get out of your vehicle and the first thing, this is for me personally, the first thing I smell is a grill going on. I smell a grill. There's something cooking on the grill that right away, it brings a bit of relax to me. It just does. I can almost picture, and it happens at our house a lot, I can picture that I'm going to go find the man that's on the grill. I'm going to go find him, and it's going to be an environment that is very relaxed. It's not going to be a tense environment. Me standing by a father that's on his grill. It has a way, that particular thing for me at least, has a way to make me feel at home, to make me feel relaxed. And I'll just say, that is going to be your goal. Once again, this is very practical. This is a very practical teaching here. Your goal is going to get people to feel at home. You know, when you walk in the door after a hard day's of work, and maybe we're all different here, but we have what we call a mud room, and if we walk into the door, there's a mud room, there's a coat rack, there's a place for your boots. You take your things off, and you relax. That's what you do. You relax. Can you imagine if I came home from work and maybe I was out in the back 40 doing something with cattle and I'm dirty and I'm cold and I come in and I sit next to my wife with my coat on, my hat on, my boots on, a muck boots on, and I nestle up to my wife on the couch. It'd be very cold. It'd be very awkward. But no, I come in and I make myself at home, and we want to do that to our guest. We want our guest to be able to come in and relax, not feel at all any pressure. And when it comes to food, we have an opportunity to just bless these people, just to bless them, to go a little bit above and beyond. I believe it's okay to go above the normal for the sake of your guest. And I also believe that it's okay to surprise people, to surprise them. Remember the word refreshment. We're trying to refresh them. And if we were to do something out of the norm, what it does is it speaks right to their heart. Trust me. It goes right to their heart. They're making a special effort for us. They're making a special effort of care. And I think of my daughter, Adeline. I spoke about this before, but she would often try to do those things. And I bless her in that. I encourage her in that. And all of a sudden, she might come around the corner with a tray of milkshakes or something that is unexpected. And it brings refreshment to the room. It brings a level of joy and comfort in our hearts that we're here with friends and we're at home and we can relax and we can share. But you might surprise them with a special entree before supper begins or later in the evening. Many different things that you can do to show that you really enjoy these people. And also, too, God is not a respecter of persons. Don't fall into that trap. It's probably the easiest thing to fall into. And a visiting minister comes from another church, and we roll out the red carpet. Or we get somebody in our home that we don't really know, and we kind of just limp through and wait for the weekend to be over with. I just encourage you not to do it. Think of the impact you can make on their lives. When you show effort into people's lives, it is appreciated so much. It's so much appreciated, and I would just encourage us all to want to do that. We should offer plenty of food in large proportions. Now, this is where some people might be uncomfortable, but just think about it. If I was given to offering supper for you all, if I was given to it, I was excited about it, I'm making a meal for you all, would I want to skimp? Would I want to bring out some leftovers? Would I want to have maybe two pies and cut small pieces? Or would be given to hospitality, maybe having four pies in big pieces? Those are just practical things. I'm trying to bless these people. I want them to know that we're not. Now, I know there's times where you run low on food. There's times where you didn't make enough pork chops, whatever it is, and you're scrapping things together. Those things happen. But the heart is coming forth, and people realize that they know it, and they feel that warmth. And if you do things out of a heart of hospitality, and the coats come off, and the guards are down, you'll find out, too, that you can get away with a lot. You can make innocent mistakes. But also, parents, if you are excited about hospitality, if you are trying to figure out ways to be creative, your children will be right on board, and they'll probably pass you up. They'll probably get more excited and think of more creative ways, and they'll be thinking outside the box. But if you can, in ways of being creative, this would be an opportunity. This would be one way to do it, is first, plan the evening. Second, plan the meal. Just try this sometime. Pick the evening, plan the meal, and lastly, plan the people. And maybe something that would be creative is Friday night, we're going to have somebody here for supper. We're going to prepare a meal, and as a family, we're going to pour it out. And we don't know who it's going to be, but we're praying that the Lord would direct it. And it might be a family from the bank, from Menards. It might be a neighbor. It might be a brother or sister in the church. You're not sure who it's going to be, but it's going to be an exciting evening, and it's going to refresh somebody. Just some things like that. And if you get your children involved in that, getting to know your neighbors has been something that's interesting. I've preached it before, and my children are always the ones that are, Daddy, should we stop? Daddy, that person's out. They're the ones that are trying to hold me accountable to it. We need that. We need that as parents. We're busy. We have a lot of things going on. When our children say, Daddy, remember you preach about hospitality? We haven't had many over 2 weeks. And they can hold you accountable, and we should love accountability. Also, just a point, if you're uptight, your guests will know it, and it'll ruin the evening. When I say ruin, that's pretty strong. It will hurt that refreshment that you're trying to do. And so I would just encourage you to relax. One thing that I read in a cup of cold water is just make sure one room in the house is really clean. That's the bathroom. The rest of it doesn't matter as much. Because the rest of the rooms, they're always going to be with people. The bathroom's the only room they're going to be by themselves. And so that was a good pointer. Thank you, Adeline, for recommending that article there. But we've all probably heard of Southern hospitality. Is that a common thing? I've heard of it. I imagine everybody's heard of Southern hospitality. And that started during the early days when most of the South was involved in slavery. And if you can picture this with slaves were what? They were serving. And they were serving usually wealthy plantation owners that knew a lot about having friends over and having a good time. And so after the Civil War and slavery was abolished and everybody was free, do you think the slaves knew a little bit about serving? And also, did they know a little bit about how to have some good fellowship? They knew both those aspects very well. And so I think it was just a natural thing for the people in the South to be able to relax and serve and bless and pour it on. When you think of Southern hospitality, what comes to your mind? It may be different for each one of us, but when I think of Southern hospitality, I think of big porches. I think of wraparound porches. I think of Sunday dinner. I think of mashed potatoes and gravy. I think of a meat. I think of these. That's what comes to my mind when I think of Southern hospitality. And it's because the people in the South, they value it. They value being hospitable. They value relationships. They value taking care of a neighbor. And it's because they have passed that on from generation to generation. We're how many generations removed from those days? But it's still something very much. And if you were to knock on somebody's door in the South and you needed something to eat, you'd probably be ushered right in. And here in the North, it's quite a bit different than that. But I would encourage that the children of God would be in a place where we're very quick to be hospitable, very quick to relax, to take our guard off. Refreshment, a relaxed afternoon of fellowship. We all need it probably more than we think. The second point after food is entertain. Now, how many of us would think that the subject of entertainment would be encouraged in the church? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We're not talking about giving them entertainment. We're talking about entertaining your guest. And so when someone comes into your home, we want to offer them a place to sit that is warm and comfortable, or cool and comfortable. I believe that in the summer months, it works well to be outside. We want to get them something to drink. I've also found that something that's helpful is not to ask them if they would like something to drink, but give them something to drink. They can always decline. So once again, the effort is a time of refreshing. We're wanting to pour it on, and our goal is to get them to put their guards down and relax. But after somebody that comes into your home, a guest that you've invited into your home, is comfortable and being refreshed by a drink, maybe you would start by asking them a question about their life. You would start to show some interest in them. If somebody comes into your home and you're excited to share with them how you're doing, that isn't refreshing. But instead, to try to get them to open up and to ask questions about their life. Remember, we're going to make this evening all about them. Ask them about their day. Ask them something very personal about something in their life, their family, where they're from, their parents, whatever it is. Also, a pointer here that when people come into your home, one of the first thing is, especially people that you've never had in your home before, and they have children, they come into your home, and right away they're wanting to know if it's going to be a relaxed environment or not. Right away, you have to just assume it. You almost have to assume it that they're a little bit protective. One, what are their children going to do? Are their children going to behave? What are these people going to think of my children? And you probably all heard, I think Denny Kensler would teach this, but people out in the car just giving the children the fifth right. You know, you behave when we're in here, nobody talks, everybody sits quietly and all that. And you can tell when these families get into your home, the children are all just, and don't speak a word. But what we're actually wanting is not that. We're wanting relaxed. And so what often can help is when a family comes in, it's amazing how the children are very shy. They're getting to know a new place, and they're all huddled around their parents. And I can, if you think back on times when people have come and for the first time, what was your picture? I'm picturing a brother right now that was sitting on my porch with like three or four boys on top of him. And they wouldn't say a word, these shy boys just climbing all over Daddy. Daddy's probably in a very similar place as they are, to be honest. He's wanting to know what it's like here. He's wanting to know if it's one of those homes where you would never bring your shoes into it. If it's one of those homes where the children could break something. And so he's also filling it out. And so an encouraging thing can be that when you see that going on, is that you have an older daughter in your home or you have an older son in your home, that they would take over the children. And they would just walk up to this father and say, hey, can we show your children the pony? Or can we show the children whatever it is that would maybe attract the children? Hey, do you know we have some toys in the other room? And next thing you know, you draw the children away from the father. The father feels very, very relaxed that his children are going to be taken care of. If it is something that's adventurous, like maybe let's go take a ride on the pony. That may be something for another day, but we're going to go take a walk, or we're going to go do something, show you the rabbits. And right away what happens is, I see it a lot, the father, okay, and he gives a few words, and then he lets the children go, and he just automatically, it's like somebody took a load off. That's one weight he doesn't have to worry about. We're going to take care of the children. And if a child is doing something that's not appropriate, you see two children, I just seen it here recently, two children on the floor fighting over a toy. You don't want to make a big deal of that. You don't want to make that a focus. But you can ignore it, and it's really, really good when you have older children that can step in and just get involved in that. And hey, actually we have two of those. Here, why don't you boys come over here? I want to show you something. It brings a relaxation to the parents. So just some practical things that you can do. You might want to start your conversation off a little lighter. You want to laugh often. And you can very easily create an environment that brings the walls down. And by the end of the night, you're talking about some very good things. And you're learning to know somebody. And you're developing a relationship that is going to last for a long, long time. A relationship that you're going to remember. There are people in our lives, obviously outside of this brotherhood, it probably may be good if I'd spend the night in some of you all's homes, but we usually go back to our house. But when we're traveling, we obviously spend the nights at other people's homes, and there are some examples out there that are simply amazing, and they're refreshing, and I want to go back. And that's maybe why you would hear me and Brother Andy encouraging sometimes that you go out to other churches and visit other churches. If there's opportunities for you to go, why not spend the night? Why not go for church on Sunday morning and see what their church service is like? Because what's happening is you're developing a relationship there that could last the rest of your life. I have brothers and sisters in our lives and our family's lives that we love dearly, and it's because of those things. And it took an investment. Would it be easier to just come home? Would it be easier to not do this? And I don't want to overemphasize this, but I'm just telling you, look for opportunities that you can get to know more people, and then flip that thing around. When people come to your house, can you make it that way? In Mark chapter 6, I love this passage here. Mark 6, verse 30 and 31, it says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." So they come back to Jesus, and they're sharing with Jesus all that has happened. The things they did and the things that they taught. And here's the Lord Jesus' response, a beautiful passage. This is at Penn Valley, a big passage on the wall there. "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Let that be your heart in your home. You don't know the situation, but just assume it. That there's a lot of things coming and going. There's a lot of families that don't have the leisure. And to be honest, the trip they're on right now that lands them in your living room is stressful. And you have an opportunity to give them the spirit of coming apart and resting a while. It's an encouraging thing, and I can get excited. I want you all to get excited about it and want to invite people over. We all know it's a busy life. We hear, and I know you all hear this, and I'm going to step out on a little limb here, but limbs are fun sometimes. They break sometimes too, but we hear more and more about people going to meetings or traveling to church communities and staying where? Airbnbs. We hear that more and more. Hotels. And you know, I'm not going to blame them. How about that? I'm going to blame us. I just found it happened here 2 or 3 weeks ago. A family stayed up in Fairborn at a hotel, and they came here on Sunday morning for church. I'm going to blame us. And I'm going to blame us because I think sometimes we could do a better job at being hospitable, if I can just say it like that. And if we can be known as a brotherhood here that just loves to have people come. Have you been to Dayton? Have you been there? Have you been to Brother Andy's house? You've been to Brother Philip's house? And we do, I'll be honest, we do hear these things. I'm not saying that we don't. But it's so much so that people want to stay here. People want to. And we go, we actually do things that do cost money. I think of our place there in Allen County, we had a guest quarters in our basement. And we were doing, the church was doing all the work ourselves, and so it was fairly affordable to put a bathroom and a couple bedrooms down there. And next thing you know, we were having people staying there a lot, and we loved it. We loved the idea of being hospitable to them. And we met a lot of people through that. And so when we moved up or down here, and now we have a house with 2.5 bedrooms, we made a choice to put an addition on our house with some living guest quarters or whatever you want to call it in our basement so we could do the same thing. And you know, that was expensive. And maybe some people could argue that, but we're as a family wanting to build a home that is hospitable. We want our children to have that same vision. Now, I'm not saying we all should run to the bank and borrow money and build big houses. I'm not sure where to put all that. But I would just say this. Let's have that in our minds that, oh, we want a bedroom at least. We want a bedroom where we can have people stay. And then those people will always be wanting to come back. And a little on that, on people coming into our homes and staying the night. There's a book out there. It's a biography of Robert Chapman. It's called The Apostle of Love. It's an encouraging book. I would encourage you to read it, to get it, to borrow it, however you want to do that. The Apostle of Love, Robert Chapman. But what he did, he was a very gifted minister. When I say gifted, he was a preacher. He was a pastor. He had a pastor's heart. And he was the pastor of a church in England. But he bought a large house with many rooms, and he bought it for the purpose of serving ministers all over England. That was his objective to it. He was never married. He was giving himself wholly to serving and being a blessing. And he committed himself to this ministry. He was addicted to the ministry of the saints, you could say. And as ministers would be passing through, there was a reputation developed very quickly that there was a safe haven. You could call it the Fair Havens, maybe. Think of Acts. But there was a place where you could be refreshed. And this Robert Chapman, he lived in this home as well. And there was many rooms in this home. It wasn't big living quarters with kitchens and all that. It was rooms. A bunch of very comfortable rooms. And ministers would come from all over. And I don't believe it was just limited to ministers. But often he was seeing the idea that ministers were wearing out. They were being overloaded. They were being stressed out. And he wanted to help that. And so he would give these people some time, and he would give them as much time as they wanted. They could come through for a night or two and be fresh as they went on their way, or they could stay for several months if they were discouraged, and he would try to work that through and help them get through. He would, when people would come into his home, he would get right to work to blessing them, to serving them, to feeding them, to caring for them, to doing all these things. And so he went out of his way to make in his backyard a lot of beautiful gardens where they could ponder and walk and take time and experience a walk with God. And on this subject here, I believe that's what we should focus on. I want to be careful. I shouldn't say that. We should focus on it. We should put some focus on this. When people are coming to stay in your home overnight, are we giving them a comfortable place to sleep? Are we giving them a bed that is comfortable? I mean, is that thinking too carnally? An environment that is comfortable. Do you have a place where people can take a walk in the morning? I really rejoice at the fact that most people, not all, but most people that come and stay at our house for a weekend or overnight at least, that in the early morning hours, there's going to be people reading their Bibles in our home in different places. There's going to be people taking walks down the driveway, down the road. And I might be sitting in my spot having my devotions, and it brings joy to my heart knowing that in this little farm here, there's a lot of beautiful praise going up to God. It's an encouraging thing. And so one thing that I would like, what I love when I'm traveling, and I know other people do as well, but you can let them know where a place to study is. When you're staying in someone's home and you know that it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 in the morning, whatever time you get up to study or to seek the Lord, but you're in a bedroom and you have some children on the floor, and that's perfectly fine. Most families like to be together. But what do I do about my morning time? What do I do about reading my Bible? And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking right away of brothers that have pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I want to show you this room. You can have this room for the morning. And here's a light, and here's a desk, and here's some pens." And sometimes they'll even give me their own studies. They'll give me their own place where they study in the morning. And it just puts a relax. I still can remember from years ago, people finding these little nooks. Sometimes it'd be a little, one place it was an attic, little attic room where the walls were all slanted. There was a little desk up there and a light, and I just loved that little place. I was there for maybe 3 or 4 days. But just being mindful of that, these things are often things that we don't think about. I can remember actually not doing this to a family that was here for our meetings. And early in the morning, I was walking by the stairs, and he was huddled in the bottom of my stairs with a little flashlight reading his Bible. And it pricked me. I thought, oh, I should have told him about a place where he could go and study and read his Bible. But those are things, you know, hey, we have an area you can walk. You can take a walk. We have a creek over here. You can walk back to the woods here. There's the driveway here. Whatever it is, and just give them some freedom. If it's nice outside, there's a place on the porch. I can remember when Paul Hirschberger told me this nice place underneath the porch in the morning that I could have my morning devotions, and it was a blessing to me. It was refreshing. And years later, I still think of that porch and the mornings ahead. And we have an opportunity to give that to people, or we can just forget about those things. What about coffee in the morning? Do we have a way of getting coffee to our guests in the morning? That is a way to be a blessing. Even if you don't like coffee, even if you don't drink coffee, being in a place where, hey, we're going to have coffee, I have people tell me there's going to be coffee at 5 o'clock right here. Here's cups. Help yourself. People that are getting up and wanting to take a walk or do some studying or whatever it would be, to have a basket in their room with some things maybe to read for the children if they ever need a break. Just be thinking creative. A basket they can take home with them. Most of the time when we go visit somewhere, we bring a basket. What if we have a basket there for them with a little card blessing them, encouraging them, giving them some refreshing things in there, something to take home, some snacks or whatever it would be. I often, and I really like this, and I know you brothers are this way as well, but I love to give books to people. People that come through my home, I love to be able to have a book to give them when they leave. And you know how we all have our favorite books and our go-to books. And William Law, I can think of. Philip has a stack of them there. And so you have a stack of these books. Maybe it's Martyr's Mirrors. Maybe it's Only a Servant. Maybe it's Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. And they leave this beautiful experience. They leave it with a gift. It's just something that this really made an impression. This family really cared about me. Can you afford financially to bless people, brothers and sisters? Can you do that? Can you afford it financially? One thing that Robert Chapman did that's just profound is there was at least one rule to staying there. And every night before you went to bed, you had to leave your shoes out in front of your door. And he would wash your feet. He'd wash your shoes. Just a man that cared, a man that wanted to bless people that came. And every morning when you got up, you knew you had a clean pair of shoes sitting in front of your door. Can you imagine the difference that Robert Chapman made in the kingdom of God? Ministers that were done, maybe. Ministers that were washed out. Ministers that were discouraged. Ministers that didn't know. And maybe somebody said, go to Brother Roberts. And they made their way to Robert Chapman's. And maybe they stayed for 3 weeks. And this old man lived to be 99 years old, I believe it is. This old man just poured his life into your life. Gave you all that he had. And refreshed you and encouraged you. And gave you the spiritual encouragement you need. It would open his Bible to you and help you through it. And you go on to preach for 30, 40 more years. Can you imagine the difference that made? The power of that ministry. I believe that's why those dear brothers were addicted to it. The ministry of the saints. It's an amazing opportunity. And I want to just inspire each one of us here to be encouraged at doing it. To get encouraged about being hospitable. Matthew 25, it says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And just here in closing, what should the experience be like when someone would enter in to the home of the children of God? What should that experience be like when a wayfaring sinner stumbles into your home? What kind of experience is he going to have? And something that really gets me excited and gets me emotional is when you think of families, all the families here, and everybody here is committed to doing this. It's a Bible command to be given to it. Everybody in this church right here, this community, this group right here, we're all doing it. We're doing it to our neighbors. We're doing it to each other. We're doing it to people that are discouraged. Can you imagine the effect that makes in the community? And you have people saying, we don't know how we would have lived before they moved in. That family is such a godsend. They are such a blessing. We love going there. And all these families in this community are reaching out and doing that all around us. And it's creating an environment for the gospel to land. It's creating an environment for soft hearts where the seed can be planted. And then what's powerful about this is then you take a coal out of that. You take a coal out of that and you drop it in another city. And that's what church plants look like. When you see the effect that you're having in the community around us, when you see all the people that know all the families, oh yes, we know them. Oh yes, they always bring a pie every year. Would you not want that to also be happening in other places in the world? Would you not want that? When you think of other cities, millions of other people, they're not experiencing it. They live on the same crooked road. They live on the same backwoods road for the last 50 years. And next thing you know, a child of God, a family that is given to holiness and spiritual vibrancy and given to hospitality and serving, boom, lands right next door. And it changes their life forever. In the little town that's next door, this family's there to fix the roofs and to help the neighbors. This family's there to open up the doors, to be a blessing, and it changes the town forever. That's why I can get excited about church plants. I can get excited about shooting little groups off, little coals out of the fire, and making a difference to so many people around us. It's a life of being done with ourselves. It's a life of surrendering to servanthood, to hospitality. And I just want to read a verse that we just sang in closing here. The song 262, Hail to the Brightness, the third verse. Let's just think about what I just said there. Lo, in the desert, rich flowers are springing. streams, ever copious, are gliding along. Does that sound refreshing? We're talking about a desert. Flowers, streams. Loud from the mountaintops, echoes are ringing. Waste, rise, and verdure, and mingle in song. We have that opportunity to be that to the desert that we live in. God bless you.